This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We're going into a Bible study this evening. Our second portion, our second installment, if you will, of Family Matters. Family Matters. And guys, we're going to discuss Family Matters because, guess what? Family matters. Amen. Ephesians in chapter 5. When you get there, let's all stand. As we honor the reading of the perfect, purified, preserved Word of God that is within the King James Bible, without void, without error, without contradiction. Somebody say amen to that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. You're going to have to excuse my voice tonight. It's a little bit weak. Started going out this morning as well. But the Bible says in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's the wife's favorite verse. I know that to be true. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, we know that to be true, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for the blessed night time to be together here, one with another. Father, we just want to give you praise and glory and honor. And I pray, Father, that you bless the words that are going to be spoken tonight. Open up the hearts and the minds and the ears. Open the souls, dear God, of every person here tonight, Father. And Lord God, I know there's going to be some that leave the same way they came in. But Father, I also know that there's going to be some that's going to leave tonight changed. And Lord, there's many, many, many other people that should be here tonight. They should be here, dear God, because they need this. Our world needs this. America needs this tonight. God in heaven, I also know that you knew who was going to be here. So I pray this evening, Lord God, that you have your will and your way. I cannot do this. I'm a failed man. And if anything is going to be done tonight, it's going to be done because of you. And I ask you tonight, dear God, to see to it. In Christ's precious, wonderful name we ask. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Beloved, tonight, more than one-third of our children will go to sleep in homes in which their own fathers do not live. Before the age of 18, more than a half of our nation's children will spend a significant portion of their childhoods living apart from their fathers. Children who grew up with their fathers do far better emotionally, educationally, physically, and in every other way. Over 70% of juveniles in long-term correctional facilities grew up without their fathers. Compared to teenagers that grew up with their fathers, females from fatherless homes are 111% more likely to have children as teenagers and 164% more likely to have premarital births. If you are a child that has been sexually abused in your home, the chances of the abuser being someone other than your biological father are 40 to 1. And in other words, if your father had been there, it's 40 to 1 chances that it would never happen. If you have been physically abused as a woman in your own home, it is many more times likely to be a boyfriend or a stepfather than that of a married husband or father. Friend, the Bible says, lo, children are a heritage unto the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Beloved, the Lord ordained marriage in the Garden of Eden. He did so by divine design in creation. And He did it in order to fortify the roles of both man and God. As men, we must uphold our role. We must uphold our position that Christ gave us both on Calvary and in creation. Men, I'm here to tell you tonight that if we do not uphold and honor the position that was given by God, it will be assumed by another. And that other was not designed to do the work that a man is supposed to do. Now, guys, I'm an independent Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm thankful to God that He allowed me to be a Baptist. I hear tell of people saying, well, I don't want to be a Baptist. I just want to be a Christian. No, you want to be a liberal sinner and have no standards to live by. Somebody say amen to that. It's a good place. Amen. I'm not a Baptist by denomination. I'm not a member of the Southern Baptist Convention. But I am a Baptist tonight by doctrine and doctrine alone. I'm a Baptist because it's biblical. Praise God for that. Now, we're going over the Baptist distinctives in Sunday school. Most people in a Baptist church today do not know why they are a Baptist. Amen. I am going to live my life as the Bible is my sole authority. Amen. Not mankind, not people, not other people, not a convention, not a meeting hall. But tonight, my Bible is going to be my sole authority. Praise God. And I pray that it is yours as well. And I'll say all that is this. Now, I'm an independent Baptist. And thankful God allowed me to get saved and sent out in an independent Baptist church. Amen to that. It's God's grace. I've never once doubted the King James Bible. I've never once held in my possession and studied anything other than King James Bible. I've had the perversions. I've looked at them. I saw the difference automatically. Amen. Now, having said that and established a position that you already know, we like to complain, well, that woman shouldn't be doing that. We like to complain about women doing certain roles in the church and women doing this and women doing that. Guys, I'm telling you this right now, and you take this for what it's worth. Women are doing what they're doing in churches today because men are not. Amen? They're not doing it. I get phone calls at times about people saying, well, you know what? I wouldn't be associated with that fellowship of Christian athletes. And I said, yep, that's why the liberals are. Amen? We want to sit back and armchair quarterback and complain and complain, but we complain and we do nothing about it. Amen. And not just a little for instance. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be associated with them. Amen. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do with them. I don't have to go in there and preach from an NIV, and I ain't going to preach their doctrine. I'm going to preach and teach the Word of God the same way I do here and see souls saved. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. Praise God for the five men saved last Monday night in the prison house. But I sure would like to get them into high school, amen, before we got to wait to get them in the jailhouse, amen. And we're not doing it. We got independent Baptist churches all through this area. Some of them are interested in building their daycare centers. Some of them are interested in building their schools and their bus route. Some of them are interested in building their liberal media and music programs and all that. But they're not interested in getting down to the nitty-gritty and getting inside the schools and going after the kids where nobody else is going after them and teaching and preaching them the hard-nosed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that will save their soul. Don't come to me and tell me that you got to have something to get them in. No, you don't. You need the Holy Spirit of God because it's not up to you to save them. It's up to Jesus Christ to save them. Amen. And if the Holy Ghost can save me and save you, He can save them. Praise God. Now, why do I say all that? Well, but I say that because in America today, we need men, amen. We need biblical men, not men produced by Hollywood or men produced by a seeker-sensitive movement. We need men, beloved. We need men that will lead their families and their homes in the ways of righteousness rather than just ruling them with words. And leaving the woman to bear the burden of everything. That's what we've done in America today. You know, the majority of the people. Now listen, I'm going to say, I said this last week, and so say I now again. I'm going to say some things tonight that may rub you the wrong way. But let me encourage you tonight to take everything that is said literal and take it to heart. If you take tonight, and I understand some are going to leave tonight the identical way they came in. They do that in every church they're in. Some's going to leave tonight a better husband, a better man, a better father, a better Christian. Because the Word of God is right there and it's laid out. We need men who are willing to rule by the word of God and lead their family in the ways of righteousness and not just rule by words and dumping everything on their wife to do. Beloved, we need men who will present the picture of Jesus Christ in their homes. Not the ruling and reigning Jesus Christ of the kingdom, but the sacrificial redemptive Christ of the cross of Calvary. That's the men that we need in homes tonight. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, be of good courage, let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God and for the Lord, and the Lord do that which seemeth good to him. Good him. We need to play the men for our people, for our families. We need to do that which is right in the eyes of God, that when they pass on a generation that will do the same thing. We need men to perform the duty given to them by God Himself. We need tonight, as we, by introduction last week, we need men tonight who are willing to sacrifice for their homes. Don't sacrifice for a paycheck. But are you willing tonight, men, to sacrifice for your home? Look in Ephesians 5 there. The Bible says there in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives. You know why the woman's never reminded to love her husband? You find that in Scripture? They're told to obey. They're never reminded to love their husbands. You know why? The women don't have a problem loving their husbands. It's the other way around. God knew. He knew that men have a problem loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Guys, when he says, even as Christ loved, that is the way, that is the method, that's the formula and the basis of a godly love. He gave himself for the church. As Christ loved the church, he gave himself for the church. Hey, listen, it was a love that was sacrificial, guys. Now, man, let me ask you this question. When is the last time that you honestly gave something up for your wife? When's the last time that you honestly sacrificed something that was special or personal to you, whatever it may be? I mean, I'll tell you what, daddies, I think personally, I got convicted in my heart. And wife doesn't know this. Bless her heart, she'd been peppered with things throughout these series on families, but I'll tell you what, us as fathers, we ought to pick a time and we'll keep the kids and let her have her own day and go do whatever she wants to do. You say, preacher, wait, we mean we'll let her go do her shop? No, let her go do what she wants to do. Men like to go play golf and go jog and go run and go out with the buddies and get the coffee and do all this stuff. When's the last time we just let our wives go do what they want to do? Amen. My wife, for her birthday, I gave her this spa treatment. She had a spa day, and it was a blessing to let her go, and she had a great time, amen, doing that. But it shouldn't be just for a birthday, amen. The man, my friend, is a picture. First tonight, the man is a picture of Christ. Verse 28, the Bible says in Ephesians 5. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. Let me say this about your Bible. Bible, church, and the Bible is kind of like shopping. If you go shopping without a cart, you're just not going to get a whole lot. Amen? You're just not going to get a whole lot shopping. I've tried to do that. I've tried to go into the grocery store at times, and I don't get a cart, no basket. I'm going to get what I need. And every time I do that, I drop something, amen, or I got to leave it all there and go get a basket or a cart. But, you know, same thing. If you don't bring your Bible to church, you know what? You're just not going to get a whole lot out of it. Amen, preacher? I think that to be true. Verse 28 says here, we're talking about a picture tonight, first and foremost. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, watch this, but nourisheth it, amen, cherisheth it even as the Lord, the church. Beloved, no man, no sane man, no man that's not devil-possessed, is going to hurt his own body. He's going to take care of it. He's going to cherish it. He's going to provide for it. He's going to do all that stuff to his own body. Man will nourish his own. He'll take care of his own needs. He'll do all the things that he wants to do in his life. But you got to do it for your wife as well. Amen? Some things you got to give up. Why? Because you are the picture of Jesus Christ in your home, whether you like that or not. The man is the picture of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, he said, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You're the head, man. That's the way God made it. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't somebody else's idea. You are the head of your home. Amen? That's the Lord. A lot of men, they puff up and they say, "That's right, woman, I'm the head. You do what I say do." Right? Turn over to Mark 10 with me real quick. Hold your place there in Ephesians. Mark in chapter 10. Turn quickly if you will tonight. Mark in chapter 10. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry. Mark in chapter 10. Mark in chapter 10. We're going to be down in verse, down toward the end. Verse 44. You there? Say amen. Jesus Christ says, "And whatsoever and whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all." Ooh. Well, I thought I was the head. You are the head. But with responsibility comes accountability. He that will be head, my friend, must be heel as well. That's the way it works. That is the position. It's a position that is reverenced by the wife. It's a position that should be reverenced by the child. But it is a position of sacrifice by the person. As your wife, man, listen to me carefully, as your wife and family sees dad, as your wife and family sees husband, is how they're going to see Jesus Christ. And some of you are thinking, "Now, that ain't true." Well, that's fine. It is true. It's the way it has worked. It's the way God set it up. That's the way the home was constructed, and that's the way it was ordained. You are the picture of Jesus Christ in the home. And your role inside that home is a sacrificial role. Amen? So, there is a picture in our home, that is the man. The man is also to be the provider of the home. Look in verse 29. Verse 29 says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, beloved." Hey, listen, he nourisheth it and he cherisheth it. He nourisheth and cherisheth that body. It is our duty, beloved, it's our position as men to provide for our home. Men, listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say next. It is not your wife's duty and obligation to provide for the home. It's not. If you want to go into debt so that both of you have to work for the rest of your life, that's your business. That's a decision that you make. But you need to understand this tonight, that it's not the position of your wife to provide for that home. It is not your wife's position to provide for you. Now, I realize we have many dual incomes in here. I understand that. And I'm not trying to run everybody off. I'm just giving you a biblical fact. Man, if your wife say, "You know what, I think the right thing for me to do is to come home and tend to this home that God has given me," you have absolutely no biblical ground to refuse her that. None whatsoever. Now, there is a bit of common sense ground. If both of y'all went into debt, both of y'all need to get out of debt. Amen? With that goal of maybe her coming home. But I'm trying to tell you tonight that you need to understand, men, it is required. God has commanded you to provide for that house. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Man, if you refuse to provide for your own family, the Bible says that you're worse than a non-believer. Worse than an infidel. The second position of the man in that home is that of provider. It's that of provider. You're the picture of Christ, and you are the provider. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 with me real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Getting awful quiet tonight. Amen. Just giving you biblical facts, guys. That's all I'm doing tonight. 2 Thessalonians 3, look in verse 10. The Bible says, "For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Men, your job is to provide for your family. So, first two things we see is that you are a picture of Jesus Christ in the home. You are a picture. What your children, what your wife see in you is what they're going to see in Jesus Christ. You are to provide for your home. Part of providing is protecting. Look back in Ephesians with me, Ephesians 5. Part of providing is protecting, men. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to go back to the verses that we've already read, but we're going to look at verse 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says again, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. There's your key right there. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Men, we have a role as the head. We have a position to provide. We have a position to protect our homes from evils. We have, and I'll tell you, we'll touch on it in just a minute. I'm not going to get too far into it, but you turn back to the Old Testament. We not only have a position to protect our families from the wickedness and the evils of this world, but guys, we also have a position in our home to protect our families from just plain old ignorance. Ignorance means without knowledge. It means unknowing. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them. What is them? Look up in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Well, what are these words? Look up two more verses in verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Do you get that? We are to teach our families that we have no room in our heart for anyone or anything else. That doesn't mean you do nothing in this life. That doesn't mean that you don't have some fun and recreation and all that. But what it does mean, that your entire life should teach your family that you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That is our job. That's part of protecting our homes. It goes for teaching our children, and it's applied to teaching our wives as well. It doesn't mean that you always sit down with your wife and say, okay, it's school time, sit down, let's go over this. It says, when thou sittest down, when thou riseth up, when thou liest down, when you walkest by the way. Your life, guys, should also teach to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and all thy might. It is our job to instruct our homes in the right ways of the Lord. It is our job to teach in the right ways of God, as opposed to the convenient way. Amen. We have a group of people today that want to pick and choose what they want of God. They think that coming to God is a smorgasbord. And it's not a smorgasbord. It's not a buffet. It's all or it's none, beloved. You have to understand that tonight. You can't say, well, I'm going to have standards on the King James Bible and then go out there and have standards of the world. It doesn't work like that. That's called hypocrisy. Amen. It's got to line up right. And man, listen to me carefully tonight. This is your night as the position of the head. Do you know who knows a hypocrite better than anyone other than the Lord? Wife. You think you know your wife. You think that men think that they just got the tiger by the tail. Those ladies speak to other ladies. They speak to other friends and other family members. You see what I'm saying tonight, guys? It is important that our life, as the head, teach our families the right ways of God. Not what's comfortable, not what's convenient, but that which God has told us to. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from them. In the way he should go. A child doesn't know which way to go, but he ought to be trained up in the right ways of God and go in the right direction. The Bible says that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You don't hear that word shame very much in America. Shamefacedness is a thing of the past. Amen. I don't see very many people blush anymore. Amen. There used to be a time when men would blush. But you don't see it much unless they're wearing blush. A lot of men wear that today. But men, listen diligently to this, if you will. Go ahead and turn back to the New Testament. We're going to be, we'll be over there somewhere. I don't want you to get too far ahead. Most women in church, I mean saved, born again, believing women. Listen real carefully what I'm going to say, because where was marriage ordained? Somebody say it real quick. By God in the Garden of Eden. By the first two, right? Okay. Most women, saved and born again women in the church, if they fall, they typically do so because the man will either hold them down or drags them down with them. I mean, I know those are harsh words. I know those may be kind of big pills to swallow. They used to say, when I was a little kid, my dad had me taking Shackley products, you know, protein and all that stuff. And, buddy, they used to have some mammoth pills, man. I don't know what they were, but they called them horse pills. You know, it was a joke because a horse takes a big pill. We had this big fiber pill. It didn't taste bad. I liked them. But, man, it was huge. It was hard to swallow sometimes. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to swallow that pill. Most women in church who love the Lord, who are saved and born again, who are growing in grace, they'll usually be, if they fall, it's usually because of their other half. And the reason being is because most men who drag their wives down with them, they do so because they love their own sin and they desire a comfortable Christianity. When the man gets convicted by a growing woman in God, he'll usually pull her down. If history is right, which you know it is. Adam would have done his job. I said this morning, but if Adam would have done his job, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. You remember what the Bible says? And she gave unto her husband with her. Amen? He sat by. Yea, hath God said? The serpent said. I wonder what's on TV tonight. I wonder who's winning the NASCAR race. Oh, thou shalt not surely die. Hey, will you hurry up over there, lady? Get that fruit and let's go. I'm ready to go home and get my remote. All right? I'm just using this, just playing. They really didn't have remotes in the Garden of Eden. Amen? By the looks of some of y'all, you guys, you were thinking so. Amen? Turn over to the book of Mark with me, please. A lot of times, a man will get convicted because he doesn't want to come out of his comfortable Christianity lifestyle. And they'll get convicted because that woman is growing in grace. I've seen that more times in my life, both as a pastor, as just a preacher. I'll tell you what, my wife got saved in a family class that I was at. I wasn't teaching that night, but a class that I taught, I got the second comer, I got the flunkies, the people that failed the first one, they came to me on a Monday night class. And my wife got saved in that class, and we were working that class. That was a blessing. It was before we were saved, amen. Before we was married. And it was so good. It felt like salvation. But I don't know where I was going with that. Oh. Those kids were kids that were kicked out of schools. They were kicked out of schools, and they were on drugs, or they smoked, or gotten pregnant, or just done things they shouldn't be doing. And in order for them to be homeschooled through a certain organization, they had to go through, because they were kicked out. They couldn't go back to a metro school or another county school. They had to be homeschooled. In order for them to do that, they had to go through our program, our family class. And it was required that at least one parent or guardian be with them every night, okay, in the class, a seven-week course. And they were graded on it. They were only allowed to miss one class. If they missed two, they failed and had to retake it. And if they failed that one, then they got in trouble with the state. But I'm dragging this out longer than it should be. But I'm trying to make a point here. Do you know who the majority of the people inside that class were? Usually we'd have about 60 students per class, so there's 120 right there. Sometimes we'd have 140 if some of the other parents would decide to show up. But you know who typically would show up that class? Mom and child. Very rarely do we ever have daddies there, or husbands. Very rarely. You know why? Because America's got to the point to where they look at church as it's effeminate. That's my wife takes the kids to Sunday school and church. I stay home and do manly things like watch NASCAR. I stay home and take care of the house, you know, because my lazy boy may take off if I don't sit in it all Sunday. And I'm making jokes of some of this stuff. It is a little bit funny, but I'm going to tell you something. The results aren't funny. It's detrimental. It's detrimental to our homes. And we're looking at America today, our homes are falling apart, guys. They are falling apart. Homes are falling apart. The churches are falling apart. Our country's falling apart. It was the first attack Satan ever did. It was on the family. It was on the home, guys. Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. I want you to watch this and listen, man. I told you that you have a position to provide. You have a position to be the picture of Christ. But part of providing is protecting, my friend. Mark chapter 3, verse 27 says, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man. Then he will spoil his house." Now, men, this is probably going to be a very blunt statement. And I want you just to take it for the truth. If Satan comes into your house, 9 times out of 10, he is going to do so because you let him in. Amen? He can't come in unless a strong man is bound. Now, how's a strong man bound? Music, movies, monuments, memorabilia, memories, things that you said, money. All these different little things that you may bring into your home or bring into your heart, and it lets your guard down. Well, I can watch that. It's not too bad. Watch that. I told you the story about we was on our honeymoon, and I thought I just needed to buy a satanic Bible. Figure Pastor Ellis had one, I need one. That was a big mistake. I wasn't a spiritual giant, didn't need that thing. We was on our honeymoon, and I ordered it up there in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and it came in, and it was a Saturday, and we had all this mail in the newspaper. We got the newspaper that time, and all the sales were on it. And I got that box in there, and I cracked it open. I said, okay, it's in. And I set it on the arm of the chair, and it got covered up by mail. And we were praying that night, and I felt the breath of a devil breathe down my back. Y'all say, "Oh, preacher, that's sensationalism." No, that's true. Amen. And I knew something was in that home that did not belong. And in the middle of our prayer, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, if this is what I think it is and the reason why it is, you make it known to me now." And it was as if that wicked thing breathed down my neck. And in the middle of the prayer, without saying amen, I got up, went into that living room, grabbed the box that came in, the receipt, and the book, and went to the wood-burning furnace that we had there. And the first thing that was burned inside that wood-burning stove while we lived in that rental house was that Bible, that book, not a Bible. I set it on fire, and as soon as I set the thing on fire, it was as if the thing just left. But you know what it reminded me? He said, "I'm still outside, and I'm going to come in when you let me." And, beloved, we got to think about that. When we allow things of this life and this world as men to bind our hands, they come after the weaker vessel. We get preoccupied. Our priorities get out of whack. We do things that we ought not be doing. We think things. We say things. Man, you can do things outside at work and outside of your home, and you can bring it home with you through your mind. Amen. And all you're doing is opening that door up for the devil to come in and tear that woman up. You did it in the Garden of Eden. Your house is no different, my friend. Nehemiah said, "Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is the great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Men, we should be willing to fight in a heartbeat for our homes. And that means we ought to fight ourselves. Because they're not going to be bound. Turn over to 1 Peter with me quickly. We cannot be bound unless we allow ourselves to be bound, thus hurting our homes and our loved ones. You know, guys, you can say what you want to about me. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and act like it doesn't bother me. I've had some people say things to me and about me, and it's flat out hurt my feelings. Yeah, it made me upset, but I'm just going to be honest. Yeah, it hurt. I'm human. Just like you, it hurts you too. But I'm going to let you say something about my wife and son, it's on. Amen? And every man in here ought to believe that. They ought to know that about their own wife. A man that won't protect his wife, in my opinion, he ain't worth 2 cents. Amen? Well, he ain't worth it. And I'm not saying just physically. Sometimes you got to crucify your flesh and put down your own desires in order to protect your home. Our homes are failing because we're not protecting them. Look in 1 Peter 3 with me. 1 Peter in chapter 3. And in verse 7, the Bible tells me, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Watch this. That your prayers be not hindered. Beloved, part of protecting her is knowing her. And many times, beloved, you have to put aside your own feelings, your own time, your own desires in order to care for her needs and understand where your wife is in life and her spiritual development. Now, man, I'm not saying that's easy. But I am telling you that it's necessary. You can't come to me and say, well, God's laid this on my heart when you left your wife out. God's not hearing your prayers. He is not hearing your prayers, and God ain't telling you to do anything when you got problems at home. You understand me? It doesn't work like that. What did Peter say? Dwell together with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the weaker vessel. Giving honor. How do you give honor to her? You put yourself aside and you give her honor so that you can protect her, so that God can hear your prayers. You might be hearing something, but you ain't hearing from God. There's too many men who want the position of head, but they don't want the responsibility. And you can't have one without the other. With responsibility, friend, comes accountability. So we see in our lives as men, man is a picture of Christ in the home. He is to provide for his home. He is to protect his home. But beloved, the man should be a promise keeper. Not the organization promise keeper. Amen. You couldn't find a PK tonight with the FBI. Amen. Coach McCartney, he had the right idea. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a good man. The young man's testimony that I gave you this morning, Charles Johnson, played for Coach McCartney out there in Colorado. And he's a good guy. And I think his intentions were right. They were just not doctrinal. But you ought to be a promise keeper in your life. Romans 4:21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If we're the picture of Jesus Christ in our homes, then our children and our wives need to know that when we say something, we're going to keep our word. Amen? One of the most detrimental things to a youth program and to young people in churches is when people say, hey, I'm going to come by and pick you up. We're going to do this, this, and this, and this, and they never do it. And I'm sick and tired of that happening to my kids. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm sure all of y'all are. We've had it happen years past. And it hasn't happened as of late, praise God. We've had it happen years past, and I got tired of it. And children see through it. They're not dummies. You let it happen once or twice, and guess what happens? You come and say, hey, I'm going to come pick you up. We're going to go do it. You know what they're saying? Yeah, whatever. Believe that when it happens. Amen? By the way, guess what they're saying when you're teaching them? Yeah, whatever. I'll believe that later on. Got to be a promise keeper, man. Beloved, if you make a promise to your family, you need to keep it. And I know how, and you ask my kids this. I know how easy it is to not want to say no. But remember this, the operative word is no. Because I would much rather tell my kids when they ask me a question, no, amen, and keep it than give them a yes and forget about it. I had a patient of mine whose daddy always told him that he was going to do this and going to do that, never kept one promise. He doesn't have any legs at all today. The patient doesn't. And he called me up. His legs had shrunk. He's having complications with his insurance. And we were trying to get him in as quick as we could. And he called me up and he said, listen, here's the deal. I need these things as quick as I can. I promised my little girl I was taking her to the zoo this weekend. And he said, the bottom line is my dad promised me all the things. And when I was growing up, he never kept one of them. He said, I'm not going to be a loser like that. That's what he said. 26-year-old man, motor vehicle accident, burned both his legs off. And he sees his father as a loser because he never kept his word. And he's determined for his little girl not to see him like that. Yeah, amen to that. Praise God. Look at Colossians 3 with me just real quick tonight, if you will. Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. Verse 21, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discouraged is a pretty simple word, but it just means spiritless, dispirited and disheartened. You know how hard it is to reach a child who's full of anger, who has bitterness toward his family? We have worked with so many young people in over the we've been married 11, almost 12 years. It's 12, be 12 years this year. But before that, we worked with so many young people that had so much bitterness in their heart because of their home life. And again, I'm not, you know, guys, look, sometimes you got to grow up and get away from it. Don't take it that the wrong way. But these were kids, man. They were young people. They were teenagers. They were 12, 13, and 14 years old. They were full of bitterness. They were full of anger. They were full of wrath because of mom and daddy. Okay? You know how hard it was to reach those guys? Now, we saw thousands of kids come to Christ throughout that ministry in 5 and 6 years. But I'm telling you right now, do you know how hard it was to go into their home and they got a drunken father who ain't in the picture at all, and they got a mama who could care less, and they sit them down in front of the TV and the play box and all these different things, and they just turn them over to the babysitters. And you're trying to have a conversation about Christ. And then you mention, we want to glorify the Father. And as soon as you say Father, guess whose image comes in their mind? Drunken daddy over here. Cussing their mama out left and right. Man, I'm telling you guys, you either don't know how important it is or how detrimental it is. And maybe that's good, but I'm telling you tonight that if we don't fix our homes in America, we're not going to fix our churches. We're not going to be able to reach these kids and see that they're saved. But I'm going to tell you, it starts in the church. I'm going to tell you right now, about 80% of church-going families are arguing, bickering on the way to and from church. It's round two when they get back in. Now they're just mad because of what the preacher said. It is. Kids are growing up with that. You know, Denise and I have never once torn down a preacher, no matter who it was. Torn down a pastor in front of our children. You know why? Because of the position. Because of the position. Men, we got to make time for our families. Denise and I was talking on the way home. I guess it was today. I think it was today. And most of y'all know this, but Denise and I, we had one date before we were married. We didn't play marriage. We didn't try out marriage. We courted. We did things right. Amen. On the night that she got saved, I had the whopping luxury of shaking her hand. Boy, that was wonderful, amen. Still look back and should have gave her a hug, but nevertheless, we did it right. We had one date, if you want to call it that, and it was a nice night. We enjoyed ourselves, and we were talking about this on the way home about these people that they, you know, they do this whatever thing, and we probably had more dates as a married couple than most of the people who did the dating game and the shacking up and all this and that. We probably had more dates as a married couple than they have before they got married. But we just did it after it meant something. Amen? Guys, if she's worth wedding, she's worth waiting. That's the bottom line. And man, I think you ought to continue to date your wife. I think it pays off in the end. My attorney, one of my attorneys up in Clarksville, I was sitting down with him one day and we was talking. He told me, he says, and again, I don't do this on a regular basis, but he says, every time I leave the office on Friday, my wife knows that she's going to get a dozen roses. And my little girl is going to get a minimum of one carnation or multiple carnations. And his little boy got a balloon. He does that every Friday evening when he leaves the office. Now, he told me that 10 years ago. And I just thought to myself, wonder how many balloons that kid has, man. But he said, keep dating your wife. Keep dating her. And guys, it doesn't have to be costly. My second cousin of mine in Alabama lived down in Tuscaloosa. David Cater's his name. We'd go down there with his little kids, and this is what David used to do. They lived back in the sticks, really, but they were, I mean, southern beef. And what was his daughter's name? Bobby Joe? What was it? Bobby Joe? And she was a bit older than me, wasn't she? And Tommy and Tomboy. We'd go down there and spend time with them. And old David would come in there and say, come on, guys, y'all ready to go out to eat tonight? And boy, I tell you, them kids would light up, and they'd go in there, and they'd bathe and chow me, and they'd get ready, and they'd come out there to Daddy. He said, okay, let's go out to eat. And he'd walk outside underneath the tree, and there's a table. He said, we're going out to eat. Oh, boy, they'd get mad by that. They'd get angry. But on a serious note of that, you can have a date at home. Amen? You can have a date just by making the time for one another. And I'm telling you, it pays off. It builds your relationship in what God has ordained. Because you're putting aside the personal things that you want to do. Man, we live in a world that has been masterminded by Satan. He keeps us busy literally every hour of the day. I read a court case file that they found a girl guilty of matricide. And the distinguishing factor of finding her guilty for killing her mother was a two-hour time limit when she was not using her cell phone. That was what gave her away. They looked at her phone records. They said this girl lived on the phone, texting and calls. But there was a two-hour time period. And they were able to link her at that time to be in those 2 hours, that was when her mother died. Now, that's something else. That's a bit. By the way, it was in between 1:30-something and 3 o'clock in the morning. She got back on her cell phone like 3:03 or something. And they showed her, I mean, it was literally, I mean, 105 times. I mean, this girl was busy on the phone, man. I mean, she had thunder thumbs with the texting and all that. But guys, we need to be a promise keeper. Men, we need to protect our wives. We need to provide for our homes. We need to be a picture of Christ. But guys, lastly, we need to be a participant. We need to be part of our family's lives. Last thing that you ever want is for your wife or your children to look back and say, man, I wish he was there. He was always busy over there in the computer. He was always busy over there and with other families. Always busy at work. His main goals, he had his priorities. I remember Steve telling me, the guy that trained me in O&P in Florida, I worked out 6 days a week. It's what I had done since I was a little kid. It was part of my life. And no matter what, didn't matter if when I got off work, I went to the gym or I went at 5 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It was just part of life to me. And that's a good thing. It's nothing wrong with it. It's good. Steve told me one day, he said, you know, there's going to come a time in your life when it's not going to be a priority to you. And I laughed at him. I said, you're crazy, man. Actually, what I thought, I said, you're just saying that because you're fat and out of shape. So, and I really said that in my mind. Guess what? He was right. There came a time when more things become more important, which I think it's quite ironic that I met my wife in a gym. Amen. We were foolish enough to think that we would always be working out together and all that. But you need to be a willing participant in your home, in your marriage, and parenthood. Back to our text tonight. Beloved, the Bible says in verse 25, We're talking about being a participant this evening. It says, husbands, love your wives. Just love them as Christ loved the church, man. Change your ways if you have to. Do whatever you have to do for the benefit of your home. But just love your wives. In dealing with family matters, always remember this, man. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. A young man was sentenced to the penitentiary for committing forgery. The judge had known him, known the child from childhood and was well acquainted with his father. The boy's father was a famous legal scholar and author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law of Trust. Do you remember your father? Asked the judge. I remember him well, Your Honor, came the reply. Then trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, as you are being sentenced, as you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him? He said, there was a pause. Then the judge received an answer that he had not expected. He said, I remember, sir, when I went to him for advice, he looked up to me from the book he was writing and said, run along, boy. I'm busy. He said, when I went to him for companionship, he turned me away saying, run along, son. The book must be finished. He said, Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend. The magistrate muttered to himself. He said, oh, alas, finished the book, but lost the boy. Husbands, Jesus Christ said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Parents, the Bible says, and he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You are the head. That is your position as husband and as father. You are the head. But in order to be the head, you got to be willing to be the heel. Because you are the picture of Christ. And remember, he bowed his knee and he took out the water and he washed his own disciples' feet. The servant is not above his master. The head is responsibility. Responsibility will always come accountability. You cannot have the position without the price. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you will, tonight. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Very sobering, somber message tonight. I hope and I pray this evening that it's a wake-up call to most. I hope to many tonight that it was a blessing to your soul. I said nothing of my own accord, but everything tonight I believe in the will of God according to His Word and His Word alone. Father in heaven, we come before You tonight. We ask You, Lord God, as we commit this time unto Thee, pray that Your will continue to be done this evening. Lord, I ask You to touch the hearts of the men tonight. Oh, God, I know there's just few here. But Lord, it doesn't matter really how little we have, but it matters of the effect of the mighty Word that You've given to us and passed down in pure perfection. Lord, I pray tonight that the hearts of the ladies, Lord, I pray that they would be open, Lord, and broken, Father, to give way to their husband to be the man that they need to be. Father, I pray that they even also would come and pray tonight. Lord, so many souls have been saved and families have been changed and touched because of a diligently praying mother or wife. I pray for the women tonight and I pray for the men. And I ask You, Lord God, as we go into this time of invitation, that You'd move Your mighty way. It's in Christ Jesus' name we ask. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Would you come tonight? Wherever you may be in your spiritual walk, I ask you just to come tonight. You just get up and bow your heart and your head and just, you know, ask the Lord. Bear your heart and soul unto Him this evening. If not for the sanctity of your life, but for the sanctity of your home and your family tonight. Ladies, you're here tonight. Maybe you have dire needs in your life. You come and you pray this evening as God so leads in your life. Maybe tonight you're in a place of spiritual limbo. Would you come tonight? Commit and dedicate yourself. Accept the challenge tonight to just do that which is right in the eyes of God. It's not about little clones. It's not about a bunch of people walking around. It's about somebody submitting to the Word of God, giving honor to the Lord and sacrificing for their home. You come tonight as God leads.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.